You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
The Message version, take a look with me at verse 43, and catch as soon as I say it. When it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. Come on, let's get this Christmas party started. Push five people and tell them, don't forget Jesus. Go ahead. No, that's the wrong person. Find two other people. Tell them, for real though. Tell them, I know you got a shop, but don't forget. Go ahead. Tell them, I know you got a cook, but don't forget Jesus. You may be seated in the Lord's house. As we expeditiously enter into this Christmas season, it is amazing to me how many people, while thinking about Christmas trees, company, and creature comforts, X Christ out of Christmas. Do you know there were persons who were talking in D.C. about getting rid of the Christ in Christmas because they felt like it offended those that are atheists or agnostic? So it was, why call it Christmas? Let's just call it Xmas so as not to offend those who don't believe in Jesus. I'm sorry if you're watching by television. There is no Christmas without Christ. It's better to delete the holiday than dilute it. If you're not going to remember that Christ is the reason for the season, then why even have Christmas? I thought I'd spend a few moments as we enter and begin this Christmas season doing something that I've been tripping on. Pray for me. You've never done it. Nobody in here has done it. That is, preach to the same crowd for 20 years and tell the same story and have to do it a different way. Whatever else a good movie is, they begin by creating tension. They begin by creating tension in the narrative so that you can try to figure out how the movie's going to end. Matter of fact, when somebody goes to see a good movie and they start telling you about it, you say, shut up. Don't tell me nothing. I'm going to see it Friday. And what you're waiting for is the tension in the narrative. Whatever else decent preaching is, it is creating tension in the text so that people are wondering, how is this going to end? The problem is, when you preach to the same people who know the Bible, everybody in here knows that Mary had a little lamb. So whatever else I have to do, I have to figure out a way to tell the same story to the same crowd in a different way because it's still relevant every year. But how do you make it relevant to the people who are sitting here right now? Pray for me. And I thought I'd do something this year, and pray for me next year, and then the year after that. If God lets us all live, we'll just keep finding new ways to tell you the same story. But can I tell you something? I thought about, what about this year if I begin with some more obscure characters that persons don't know as well? You'll see what I mean. Look at the next verse, everybody, because I want you to see this. Let's begin right here. The Bible says, at that time in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous, which means right living, and devout and eagerly waiting for the Messiah. Listen, who catches this? To come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, some of y'all missed that. The Bible says a man named Simeon. I know you went to Sunday school, but who really knows Simeon? Come here. I know you went to Sunday school, but how many study Simeon? Simeon is a cat. The Bible says he's a good man. He's a devout Orthodox Jew following the Torah, Pentateuch, and the law. He loves God the Father, but he's waiting on Messiah. The Bible says Holy Ghost told him that he couldn't die until he saw Jesus. He couldn't die until he saw Jesus. I know it's early in the message, but go and lean on somebody and say, I can't die right now. Go ahead. Ooh, tell them, I know I'm going to die, but I can't die right now because there's some promises over my life that until they come to pass, I can't die right now. There's one grandson I got to see get saved. There's one daughter that got to get herself together. There's one thing got to happen in my family. I know I got to die, but Holy Spirit told me I would live to see certain things come to fruition, and I receive that over my life. Now, some of y'all missed it because from a pneumatological perspective, somebody should be asking the question, did he just read the Holy Spirit was upon him? When I know, Pastor, that Holy Spirit does not come to Acts 2 on the birthday of the church, you're not paying attention. I did not say the Holy Spirit was in him. The scripture says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Come here, Bible readers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. In other words, Holy Spirit has always been around. He didn't just come in Acts 2. He showed up to stay in Acts 2. God the Father, God the Son, let us make man. So the Holy Spirit would make cameos in the Old Testament. He didn't stay because it wasn't his dispensation. Genesis to Malachi, dispensation of the Father. Matthew through John, dispensation of the Son. The book of Acts till right now, dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Holy Spirit told him, you're not going to die. The scripture says, that morning, Holy Ghost told him, go to church. It just so happened. Let me try it again. It just so happened that the same Holy Spirit that told him, you can't die until you see Messiah, woke him up and said, go to the temple today. You'll be glad you went. Go to the temple. Some of y'all looking at me crazy, but six of y'all started not to come today. Wave at me. That bed was feeling so good, but Holy Spirit said, get up. Something's waiting on you. You know what? Let's go in and have church early. Lean on other neighbor and say, you won't leave here like you came. Go ahead. No, God has a special revelation for you. Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. The Bible says he got to the church. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just so happened to tell him that you cannot die until you see the Messiah. That same Holy Spirit just so happened to tell him, get up and go to church today. It just so happened that when he got to the temple, that just so happened to be the day that Mary and Joe decided to bring baby Jesus to get blessed, which was Jewish law, to come present your male child before the priest. So it just so happened, watch this, it just so happened that the day Holy Spirit just so happened to tell him to go to church, that it just so happened, some of y'all should have stopped me already. Bishop Jakes preached a series titled, Nothing Just Happens. Baby, everything you've been through, God's been orchestrating and ordering your steps. Even your dumb moves, he knew your end from your beginning. God says, since you're going to do it, I may as well get some glory out of it and teach you something as you're coming forth. I wish I had 10 people here. Lean on somebody and say, don't nothing just happen. God knew what you would do, and God has you sitting here right now for a reason and a purpose. The Bible says, and it blesses my life, that when he got to the temple, the Bible says Mary and Joe are blessing Jesus, and the Bible says the Spirit led him. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God. You've been in church all your life. Don't sleep on this. I want to give you some scriptures. Most preachers don't preach on Christmas. Simeon said, brother, I couldn't even die till you came. And then he says to Mary and Joe, I'm sorry, I know y'all don't know me, but can I hold him? Push the person in front of you, say, you better hold on to Jesus. Go ahead. The Bible says, he just said, can I hold him? Can you imagine Simeon holding him? And in a very real sense, he knows more about who he is than Mary and Joseph. Because Mary and Joseph, the Bible says, are bewildered. But the Bible says, but she pondered these things in her heart. Mary's still trying to figure it out. She's probably only 13 to 15. Remember when Mary got pregnant, women got married and pregnant then much earlier. Women's menstrual start, 12, 13 back then? Women got married 12, 13. There's a reason why Hebraic culture, American teaching teaches us for women to wait longer, but back then women got married early, so she's probably 13, 14 years old. Gabriel then told her, you're going to have a baby. Mary is having a baby by God. She can't understand it all, but Simeon, who's more seasoned, watch this, says what your pastor's saying to you. Girl, you don't know what you got. That's what your pastor does for you. He looks at you and says, girl, you don't know, brother, you don't know what you got. If that's not good enough, the next verse says, Anna, y'all gonna run out to church. A prophet, 10 people gonna enjoy this message. A prophet was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel. Bible readers, remember where Isaac hung out? Phanuel, watch this, from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they had just been married 7 years, and now she's a widow to the age of 84. Some of y'all just missed what I said. Anna, the Bible says she lived as a widow to the age of 84. Come here, the Bible says Anna. Who know Anna? We need to give you, watch this, in just a moment, some of the attributes of Anna, but look at me right now, because the text says Anna was a young girl, probably in her early 20s, gets married in her early teens or late teens. Husband lives 7 years. He dies. She'd been by herself. Now she's 84. Look at the next verse, everybody, because what was she doing the whole time? The Bible says she never left the church, but she stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child come to me who had been expectantly waiting for God to rescue Jerusalem. How are you sleeping on this? The Bible says this girl's in her early 20s. Her husband then died on her, as opposed to looking for her new man. The Bible says she just said, I'm going to hang out. Y'all missed that. All the single people, come here. So people get lonely during Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Single people feel more single. Widows, divorcees, everybody who's tripping, I'm sorry. Lean on somebody and say, just go to church. Go ahead. You'd be surprised what'll happen when you just go to worshiping God and thanking God and fasting instead of tripping on what you don't have or what he did or what she did. Anna teaches us that you never allow your misery to stop your worship. No, you never allow your circumstance to circumvent your praise. You just come to church anyway. Anna, with her cute young self, could have said, I'm not going to be without a man. I am too young. She said, you know what? I have a call on my life. And by the way, those who have gotten remarried or divorcees or widows, when your husband dies or your wife dies, the covenant dies. So it's not a sin to remarry. Don't go home thinking that you're not spiritual because you remarried or you're lonely. Everybody doesn't have the same call. Anna's call was, I just want to worship him. And can I tell y'all something that I think the whole church is sleeping on? It's to those two people, because I want to show you the verse again. The Bible says, it just so happened that while Mary and Joseph were standing there with Simeon, that Anna walks past. Now y'all look at Pastor. Do y'all think this all come to me just happenstance? Or do you think God was up to something? Now, some of y'all are missing your shout. There's no wasted ink in the Bible. So why does God tell us about these two obscure figures that don't know preachers preach about? Because God wants some faithful person to know that when you give your whole life to God, he's going to show you stuff before everybody else see it. God said, before I reveal Jesus to the world, Anna, because you didn't give your whole life as a woman, and Simeon, because you let the Holy Spirit lead you, I'm going to let you die in peace, having seen what you live to see. Oh, that's good stuff up in here. You know what, Lady Vernon, maybe on Women's Wednesday or Woman, How Much Are You Worth? I need somebody to do something called Anna Attributes or Attributes of Anna. Let me show you a few things about Anna. Look at the list and you're going to trip on it. Look at it. Number one, she was a prophetess. She never lost hope. Somebody take a picture. She never grew bitter. She never ceased to worship. Maybe this is the woman's moment in the sermon. So come here. She knew the child instantly. The message she shared with all believers. Look at me. She was a prophetess. How come whenever you say prophetess, people don't sit up in their seat? Because the Bible says desire prophecy. It's amazing. Everybody want to be a pastor when the scripture says desire prophecy. Don't think prophecy is for somebody in white who's Pentecostal with a spooky feel to themselves. Girl, you can be 30 with a cute shape. Don't get it twisted because I'm cute and got swag. I'm still prophetic. Because I got a cute shape and some long hair and I got style about myself, God still speak to me. I don't want prophets to think they got to be 50 and 70 and 90. I need some 20-year-old women that will say, God, if something's going on with my child, show it to me. Didn't nobody say nothing. I'm about to have church by myself. Prophetic just means God lets you see it so you can speak to it. Now, some of y'all thought grandma was crazy when grandma told you she was pregnant. You were pregnant. Grandma said, girls, you're pregnant. And you're like, grandma, how you know? And they said stuff like this, Holy Ghost told me. Now, y'all just missed that. I need every young person here. You know what I'm trying to build? I told Jason, I'm trying to get young people with an old soul. I want the word church to be, we young, we fly, we got flavor, we got style, but don't get it twisted, we have the Holy Ghost. And I need some young women here that will say, yes, I'm cute, and yes, I like my boyfriend and my husband, but Lord, speak to me. The Bible says, you'll love this, she got better, not bitter. The girl could have been tripping on what she didn't have, but the Bible says she just stayed in faith. I want to talk to somebody that things have been rough in 2019 and tell you, don't you get bitter, girl, you get better. I don't know who lost something. I don't know what woman this part is for, but this girl was prophetic. This girl never got bitter, but better, and she told everybody about the living Savior. I'm going to jaywalk just so you can catch this. I'm sorry, all that was my intro. Can I start my sermon now? Because if you thought that was something, let's jaywalk straight to verse 41. Because verse 41 says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now, I want you to understand there are three things you need to learn. Look at pastor. This is critical. Three celebrations. You don't have to be a pastor to know this. Every believer should know this. Traditional Judaism celebrated three things I want you to remember. Say, repeat after me. Say Pentecost, Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. Look at pastor. Then the sermon going to come to you. These were the holidays. Okay, somebody gonna catch you later. This was holiday season. Every male was required to be at the festival. Not women. Women didn't have to come if they didn't want to. It was voluntarily. But the Bible says they both went every year. Come here. Mary didn't have to be there. I feel like having church in my own church. Watch this. But the Bible says she went anyway. In 2020, I want you to do something for me. I want you to learn how to worship on purpose. Y'all just missed that. Let's just have church. Is there anybody here that believes 2020 is the year you're going to start to worship God on purpose, that you're not going to wait for nobody else to tell you when to worship? I just told one of my campus managers, and I'm telling all of them, start walking around watching what brothers and sisters are hanging in the back too much in ministry. They're so busy working, they're not worshiping. Warn them that pastor said he loved you so much, he'd rather lose you in ministry for you to gain your worship back. And I want you to understand, find out who not ever lifting up their hands. I'm sorry, people fuss too much. Your wife fuss, your job fuss, your boss fuss. So I take pride in not fussing at church. People don't come to church to be fussed at, but let me fuss for 5 minutes. All of you back there in 33D, don't come in so late, because what you're saying when you come in late is, I just want to hear the superstar preacher. I don't need to worship. But baby, watch this. Worship lubricates your spirit, so the word can slide right in. Y'all got my point, don't you? What I'm trying to tell you is, when you come in late, you're listening to me too cold. Can I tell you, maybe the reason why the word isn't settling is because the ground is not wet enough. But baby, when you open up your spirit, can I tell all of you, this is not just for women, this is for every man up in here. We come to church not just to hit a pastor, but lean on somebody and tell them like the wise men, we come to worship him. Oh, I wish I had 10 worshipers in here. Elder Stacy said something to me, my senior elder, and I received Elder Stacy. He said, son, he said, pastor, I don't care what a brother say. If he'll never lift his hand, something wrong. He says, I don't care what they say. I don't care who's reserved. He said, they don't do that at a football game. They wouldn't do that if the Browns won the Super Bowl. He said, pastor, if God is leading your life, every now and then, you're going to throw your hands up. And I need my men to show our women that we're not waiting on no women to lead us in worship. Can I get all my dogs to jump up and holler, roo, 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 roo? Go and slap three people. Say, my worship is real. Go ahead. Say, I got some things wrong with me. I'm not perfect, but my worship is real. The Bible says that Mary worshiped on purpose. She says, oh, no, Joe, you're not going by yourself. I'm going right with you behind. I'm going to worship, too. Are y'all getting somebody this? All right, all that, I promise, was my real intro. Now, the Christmas story starts in this way, because verse 42 and 43, everybody look at the screens, because this is going to bless your life. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started to the crib, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. If you missed this, you missed the whole sermon. At first, his parents didn't miss him. Wait a minute. Y'all look at pastor. Come close to me. The Bible says they didn't miss him at first. Now, let me vernonize, modernize, and contemporize this, because I don't know. It's like the Christmas season. It's the holiday season in Jerusalem. Everybody's in town from everywhere because everybody came for the holidays. Mary had to pick up a honey baked ham, plus her sister Maxine came in. And you know, Elizabeth, her auntie, she there. She got a newborn baby too. So she's trying to help her with a little nephew and all this stuff going on. Plus she had to pick up her mother, and her mother complained. And then her sister gonna call, say she needs some more stuff for the tree. So she stopped by Walmart in Jerusalem and got her some for the tree. And then they ate a couple Christmas parties. It's a lot going on. She's trying to entertain, trying to do fair, take care of Joe, all that, make sure the hotel is right. And all of a sudden, they head back. And somewhere between already and not yet, Mary realized she had forgot Jesus. But now, here's where thinking people are going to run out the church. The most cold-blooded part of the text is the Bible says, at first, she didn't miss him. When you're in a season of stupid, preach already. I need some real people here, no fake people. The sex can be so good. Mm-hmm. The money can be so good. I said sex, y'all got quiet. Sex and money make you get quiet when you know you want both of them. The money and the sex and the new relationship and the new promotion and the new house. When you first leave Jesus, I want to talk right. I want to talk to some Christians that had a season of stupid like me where you were not in prayer. You were not where you needed to be. And sometimes a man can make you feel so good, or the girl can be so awesome, or the drugs can feel so great, or the club, or the new house, or the vacation, that it take you a minute to realize you forgot. Gee, okay, y'all not talking to me. I'm going to try one more time. You can be in a season of stupid. And I want some real people to be honest with me. You can go through a time in your life where for a season, you don't even miss them. But can I tell you how you know you've been born again? Can I tell you how you know you are authentically saved? Because no matter how sexy he is, no matter how much they give you in your bonus, no matter how many vacations you take, at some point, you're going to miss Jesus. I wish I had 10 people. Y'all didn't hear what I said. The mark of your Christianity or the authentication of your spiritualization is not that you never mess up. It's not that you never have a lustful thought. It's not that you don't have a season of stupid. The reason why you know you've been saved for real is because no matter how far you drift, at some point, my soul loves Jesus. Oh, at some point, you look at him and say, get off me. No, I gotta. At some point, you say, you know what? I gotta. At some point. Don't even. At some point, your soul missed Jesus. How do you know you've been born again? Not because you perfect, girl, but because after a moment, you say, something missing. Pastor, that's a lie. I got a cousin ain't never been here. You can't miss what you never. Whoo, I'm preaching too fast today. You can't miss what you never had, baby. But if you ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if Jesus ever got a hold of you, if you've ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb, something in your soul. Oh, the pastor's watching me. I may be one of the only mega pastors having changed his number in 19 years. When you live right, you don't have to change your number. Y'all just missed what I said. There's no mistress I'm running from. Pastor, what about your enemies? I don't have any. I just got confused friends. Honestly, people who hate me got my number. People who left me got my number. How come you don't change it? Because I never know when they're going to miss it. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. And my girl would tell you, if you knew some of the texts I get, some of the calls I get by people you thought would never call me again, and say, Pastor, I'm sitting here thinking. The Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. Pastor, I was just thinking I've been wrong. I need to get back. I said, that's all right. I knew you was going to miss Jesus. Took you 7 years, but there was too much Jesus in you for you to enjoy the streets or enjoy that life. Baby, I knew you was going to call me. That's why I didn't change my number. I'm the prodigal son's father. I just stand on the porch. Because I never know the day when my son, yeah, I feel like, I wish I had, don't you look at me like God. Okay, let's just tear the church up and go home. Because the next verse says, she went back. Can I tell you something? Everybody here ought to praise God. No matter how far you get away from God, you can always come back. Don't you look at me like God didn't let you come back. The Bible says, she realized it and said, I'm going back. Can I tell you, no matter how far you've gotten away from God, you can always. Somebody watching online this morning. I'm ashamed to go back. I've been gone so long, people gonna give me that funny look. Baby, you must forgot what church you left. All these people crazy too. We can't believe God let us come. I tell people who shame to come back, girl, if you knew what the people on the front row did this week. We just all glad, not this front row, at the other campus. If you knew. What they, all of us, starting with the preacher, have made some mistakes. But I'm glad that God is a God that says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me and then cleanse me from my unrighteousness. If you here today and you forgot Jesus, you can always. Why y'all standing up? Well, just keep standing. Or sit down or run. Do one of the three. Why are you standing? You may as well stand up so you don't have to get back up. Because the next verse says, 3 days later. God, you don't know your Bible. I said in 2020, I'm going to pull some of these obscure passages that people who grew up in church are sitting there thinking, now he right. I've been in church since Moby Dick was a guppy. And I do not know what he's reading right now. You never thought about this. 3 days later, her baby missing. It's not a few minutes. Three days later. What woman in here, if your grown child was missing 24 hours, if you called her spouse, number wouldn't answer. Nobody saw her at the job. Just 24 hours, where would you be? The text, you can read the text and not read the text. Come on, let's unpack this text. Bible says 3 days later. 3 days. You know, sometimes when you leave God, it's kind of hard to get back. It takes you a minute to get the relationship restored. You feel the pain of detachment. You have to fight and look when he was right there. I'm telling you, the Bible says 3 days later, put it on the screen. You're going to love this because here's where it gets good. They discovered him at the church, sitting among religious teachers, listening to them. This is critical. You don't see this text, but you will today. Let's unearth this obscure passage you thought you knew, asking them questions. Didn't I tell you that omnipotence has no ambiguity? Didn't I tell you that sovereignty needs no answers? So why is he asking questions? Because in the temple, they would read wherever they stopped the day before. That's why it becomes so critical when Jesus is grown and he goes in the temple. And that day he just happened to go to the temple that day. The day he just so happened to go to the temple, Jesus, the grown man, and they let him do the reading that day. And it just so happened that the day he read, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. That's another sermon. The Bible says they're reading and he's asking them questions. I would pay money to know what the questions was. Can you imagine him at 12 sitting there talking to the religious leaders as they're reading from the Pentateuch and reading the Old Testament crown law, and a virgin shall conceive? Can you hear Jesus say, who y'all think that might be? Y'all just missed this. They're reading. He's asking them questions. They have no idea that Jesus is in church. They have no idea that the Messiah they're reading about. But that's not even the good part. Here's the good part. The good part is the next verse, and I'll bid you goodbye. Because the next verse says, so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother Mary said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Jesus sitting there thinking, you left me. God, I feel like y'all not feeling me. She gonna ask Jesus how you did this to us. And Jesus said, mama, are you confused? There are people who trip out. They mad at the church, mad at God, mad at me when none of us left them. Can I tell you, if you look back over your life, God never left you. Look at your neighbor and say, I left Jesus. Go ahead. Everything that went wrong in my life was because of what I did. How in the world am I gonna turn around and blame God when I left Jesus? Mary gonna say, how you gonna play me and your daddy? Mama, you my mother? And you were so caught up in you that you took off without me. I should be screaming at you. And you gonna ask me why you left. I hear God saying to somebody, don't blame me. I was there all the time. He was there all the time. Y'all get tired of that song. He waited patiently in line. He was there. I like that. He stood right in line and said, I'm going to wait right here till you get through with him and that. And whenever you want me back, I'll be standing right here. I'm in line behind your man and your dreams and your degree and your night classes. And whenever you get through, I'll wait patiently in line. Jesus said, I was there. All the time. Look at this. Mary said, you know what Jesus was, don't you? He at the church. Let's go home. And the Bible says, he said to her, didn't you know? It's on the screens. I must be about my father's business. That's what King James said. Didn't you know I must be about my father's business? Now, y'all going to love this. Only six of you going to catch it, though. Because Mary going to say, how could you do this to us? Jesus at the church doing what he's called to do. And Mary gonna say, how you gonna do this to us? You tired of your neighbor. Find one last neighbor, look at him and say, why do you take my assignment so personally? I'm gone. Y'all not feeling me. Mary had a little lamb. That's all you want for Christmas. No, there's something else I want to give you. This is a relational Christmas message. Why you take my assignment so personally? Mary, Mama Mary, didn't you know who I am to this end? Was I born for this cause? Came out to the world. Why are you mad at me about my assignment? Mama, I know you miss me. Isn't it amazing? I got a call from somebody in my family, honestly, Thanksgiving. And here's what they said to me. We know we need an appointment to see you. I was thinking, that's just about right. Y'all missed that. Now, what they didn't know is that morning one of my members had died. What they didn't know, I'm trying to plan a citywide funeral for a friend that lost his life tragically. What they didn't know is that morning, one of my pastors I cover about to lose his mind. But because they don't know your business, they don't know your assignment. Then they get mad at you for what you're trying to do for you. I'm not mad at you. I'm just doing me. I'm not mad at nobody. But I'm not coming over there to talk about nothing about who you mad at this week when I got assignments to handle. And some of you are going to miss your moment because other people taking your assignment too personally. I'm gone. Y'all not catching this. If you knew what I just said, you just jump up, lean on your neighbor and say, in 2020, I got to be about my Father's business. Go ahead. I can't let nothing stop me. I can't let nothing turn me around. This is your time. Don't let nobody or nothing stop you from being in purpose this year. Oh, I feel like preaching for 3 more minutes. Can I get about 100 people that just made up your mind that you made some mistakes in your life? You've done some things you shouldn't have done. You've been some places you shouldn't have been. But can I get about 1,000 people in every campus to jump up and shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off? Look them in the face and say, don't forget Jesus. Go ahead. Say, you might forget to buy somebody something, but don't you forget to thank the God that woke you up this morning, put shoes on your feet and clothes on your back. If God has made a way out of no way, don't you let your cousin, your boyfriend, your bad marriage, your job, your church, your ministry, don't let nothing cause you to forget Jesus, because if it had not been for the Lord, yes, yes, would you shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, don't forget Jesus. Yes, I gotta close now. But Deuteronomy says, when I give you houses that you didn't build, when I give you wells that you didn't dig, don't forget it was the Lord that did it for you. If you're not too stuck up, then shake somebody's hand and tell them, nobody but Jesus. It was the Lord that got you here this morning. It was God that woke you up. If you really know it and you're not too mean, just slide out of your seat and walk over to 3 people and slap them high five and tell them, I can't forget. When I was about to lose my mind, I can't forget how God gave me another chance. If you're not too mean, can I get 1,000 people? To go to heaven church with me, I need 75 people to bum rush the altar and just slap this altar and run back to your seat and holler, I can't forget. It was God that saved my life. It was God that filled me with the Holy Spirit. It was God that helped me raise my children. Now you can stand there and be cute, but let everything that have breath, praise God. Don't forget, it was Jesus who hung on Calvary. It was Jesus who got up from the grave. It was Jesus who filled you with the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus that put food on your table, clothes on your back. Can I get somebody to have church with me and just hug somebody, tell them, I can't forget. If God is everything to you, just turn around in your seat and say, I can't forget how the Lord turned me around. Feel like reaching here. Can I get somebody during this Christmas season to just wave your hand and say, thank you, Lord. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. Take 30 more seconds. find you five people, run over to them quick. Shake them like you're going to shake them and tell them, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. Don't forget Jesus. I gotta stop. Merry Christmas. Mary had a little lamb. Right now, I'm exercising some pastoral privilege, and I'm anointing this altar as a dance floor. Everybody who can't forget what God did, everybody that forgot Jesus for a season of your life, but he lets you come back. You got 30 seconds to get to the dance floor. You got 30 seconds to get to the dance floor. One, two, three, dance. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh.
What is up for me? When I think about you, how is that for free? I can dance, 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 dance.
Everybody.
When I think about cheese, what is up for me? When I think about cheese, how is that be free? I could dance, 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 all night. All night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
I could dance, clap my hands. I could dance,
all
could dance.
Everybody. Let me see you. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Forget what the Lord has done. Is there anybody here? You just can't forget. Don't forget the Lord. I know he's on. Oh, yeah. Hug your neighbor one more time. Tell him, don't forget. You may forget to pay your taxes. You may forget to pay your bills. But don't forget Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah! Ah!
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Took to get to the mountain. Sometimes you had to climb up on the rough side. Every day haven't been sunny. But every now and then, I feel like telling somebody about it. It hasn't always been easy. Sometimes I was made to cry. Thank you.
Louisiana, the coronavirus pandemic is a very serious matter. If you or a loved one have high blood pressure, on dialysis, has diabetes, or any autoimmune deficiency, you are very at risk. But it's important to remember no one is immune to the coronavirus. That's why we're asking everyone to get serious, Louisiana. We know it's tough, but there are activities and things you can do other than gathering in large groups. Heed the warning and learn more by going to coronavirus.la.gov. It's time to get serious, Louisiana. Use your head and stop the spread.
K-A-Y-T. K-Q-J-O-F-M.
Your number one music station. These are the hits.
Thank you. trying times, our troops need our help more now than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of servicemen and women. So please, give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, and it's simple, and it saves lives. That's from Red Dog Oil Tools, where they say service isn't just a courtesy, it's a commitment. For more information, you can contact them at 903-963-2300. That's 903-963-2300. For Red Dog Oil Tools, located 880 South Shelby Street in Carthage. Red Dog Oil Tools is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYT KQJO.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
They'll call it a mystery, but we're gonna call it
victory.
We'll be right in history. It's gonna be
victory.
There'll be signs on top of signs, just so you know.
Life, man, hit a detour. Listen, homeboy, I'm a sophomore. Life in the fast lane, in the special trial, they create my own lane. King of this feel good music, whether it's the track or it's acoustic. Yeah, please bang back the concord, a certain pedigree to get you up on board. Top time, let the waves blow back in the wind, cause I'm a winner.
Now let me see you live your life. Surprise.